The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and, I'm getting really creative here, be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks all for joining us. We're super excited about today's episode. It feels like a long time coming. It also feels like, how have we not already done this topic? Because we get a lot of questions about it, and we're excited to dig in.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited, and I'm feeling very childish because we're talking about kids. So if I make any stupid jokes, that actually won't be any different than normal. But I'm very excited, and kids at weddings, it's a huge, huge deal for the couple getting married and for those attending. If you have a baby, you know, or your sister has like two kids and they're like, you know, 4 and 7 years old, you're like, shit, like they're my niece and nephew, like I got to invite them.
Mm-hmm. The no kids at weddings rule has a lot of exceptions, we have found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we always say, you could do whatever you want, but there's, you know, when consequences. Just like when your children get in trouble, there are consequences
to your choices.
That is correct. Oh, that's very momish.
Mm-hmm. That was your choice, and it's my choice mm-hmm. to send you to your room with no dinner. So,
Mom!
Get upstairs, clean your room.
I hate you.
My son is in first grade and his teacher is very, very young. And I will say that it was a little tricky for me to wrap my brain around somebody teaching him. Like, she's a professional, she's educated, she's actually got 2 or 3 years of experience already, but she looks so young. I feel like I should be paying her to babysit him and being like, there's frozen pizza in the freezer if you know, help yourself. And instead I'm emailing her like, can we have a conference to talk about Tom's progress? So I will say that I'm a little bit, not like discriminatory, but I think I might be a little bit ageist when professionals are much, much younger than me, because it just makes me think about my own babysitting days. Did you babysit, Michelle?
Yeah, when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Not like,
I mean, I nanny like after college.
I know you. Yeah, you nannied. Yeah. You did this like as a profession, like to keep yourself going, yeah. Like to pay your bills.
And I still at weddings, if there is no childcare provided or even child entertainment, I still find myself drawn sometimes to the kids, little kids who are being like distracting or whose parents like clearly just want to have a good time. And I'm like, or they just want to enjoy the ceremony without their kids like acting up. And I'll, you know, pull up like a little game from my little clipboard or on my phone and I quietly give it to the kid, and the parents always look at me like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I'm like, well, this is nothing. This is going to last like 5 minutes. But if there had been childcare at this wedding and somebody over in that corner over there to help me out, it would be a lot better. So that is what this episode is about. So that is Molly, who we're talking about. Molly, pronounce your last name. I should have asked. I have a guess, but Yarsyk. See, I was wrong.
Okay, well, I
yes,
had no
but people always that, think.
Oh, actually,
I've gotten
it's
everything.
It's pronounced
so
exactly the
it.
Way it's
I know,
spelled.
But every time I read it, I say Yarsyk. Okay, Molly Yarsyk.
Molly.
Thank you for joining us. Founder of Black Tie Kids. Black Tie Kids, that is the company that we're talking about. That is the pictures that you've seen, if you've seen promos for this episode. And all of those links to Molly's website and social media are going to be on our show notes as well. So check them out, Black Tie Kids out of Southern California. Molly babysat, See, we have that in common, for several different families throughout the Metro Detroit area. And once she moved to New York City for school, she continued to babysit for two families. In 2014, after graduation, she moved to Los Angeles. In order to meet new people, she began attending different networking events for young professionals. It was at one of those events where Molly realized the need for childcare at adult-focused events. Since its initial start in 2014, Black Tie Kids has worked with over 120 weddings in Southern California alone. In 2017, their second division, Black Tie Pups, was added as a way to help couples who want to include their furry friends as a part of their wedding day. Today, Black Tie Kids provides services throughout Southern California, including Los Angeles, Orange County, and Palm Springs. Also, they have services available in San Diego, the Bay Area, and the Metro Detroit area. Welcome to the podcast, Molly Yarsyke.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Molly, I think it's really important that we kind of reiterate to the people listening that even though you're based in Southern California, like, you got me a proposal for my client's wedding here in Palo Alto, actually San Jose, California, for next month. And you are in where else do you service?
So right now, the Bay Area, San Francisco, Detroit. I am working on San Diego, which I just received an inquiry for a wedding in 2 weeks there. So hopefully we can make that happen. Basically, anywhere in California and Michigan.
And Detroit.
Right now. Yes.
Why Michigan? What's that? What's going on there?
So I grew up in Michigan. So it was kind of just an easy place to start it. It is proving to be more difficult there, though, just because there's definitely more people with disposable income here than in Michigan.
More people with disposable income. Okay.
So they're spending more money on their weddings in California. So childcare might be included in that.
Yes.
So like a line item on the budget.
Yes.
I think childcare for the weddings that I've done is always something that is decided. It's like thrown around at the beginning of the planning process. Oh, we'll see how many people RSVP and that kind of thing. Or if my sister decides, you know, she's going to bring her kids or not her nanny or whatever. But it then the actual trigger gets pulled, so to speak, way later. So closer to the wedding day. How is that what you found with the business model?
Yes. Yeah, so I honestly receive most of my bookings, I'd say 3 to 1 month out, and it is difficult. You know, basically my schedule just stays wide open. And like I said, today I received an inquiry for a wedding September 21st, and I kind of, you know, just use my resources and connections that I have to make all of this happen. But I believe over time, and I've also seen this, I've received more bookings in advance. So I recently received one for May 24th, 2020. I have a few set for next year. And I think just as we grow and as people become more aware about the service itself, we'll get busier and publicity will spread. And then hopefully we're one of the first people booked, whether or not they know how many kids, at least just a deposit to hold the date to know that we will be needed.
Yeah. So when it is very late, or let's say close to the wedding day, and you have your staff in place or you know who's going to go, what information do you get other than a head count?
So the head count obviously is very important. So we know how many sitters to have per number of kids. We do a 1-to-5 ratio. And then if there is anyone 18 months and under, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. So that knowing if someone is 18 months or and under is a very, very important factor. I've learned this over time the past few years, and babies that young definitely need 1-to-1. Otherwise, the sitter isn't able to care for everyone properly, and the baby's not getting enough attention. So knowing how many babies there are is very important. The number of hours and our time that they want us to be there and be in service for is important, and also being connected with the wedding planner. A lot of times the planner is the person who reaches out for the quote, but sometimes the couple reaches out for the quote. So obviously day of, the couple is busy. They can't really handle, you know, logistics or any of that. So being connected with the wedding planner is definitely key.
What is the company? How has it evolved from when you started in 2014, I think you wrote down it was basically you're trying to break it down to $10 per kid per hour. What has it evolved to now?
Yes.
Like, what can somebody expect if they look into your service? What can they expect to get as an estimate?
Yeah. So when we first started out, I kept it very, very simple at $10 per kid per hour, just trying to get a feel if this was something people even wanted. Right away off the bat, we did bring crafts and games, but our supply has also evolved. So it might have started with coloring books and crayons and really just keeping it very simple. But now we have glue and scissors, obviously very aware of the ages of kids and making sure they can use all of the items, stickers. Funnily enough, toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls are very, very popular. And different board games, different card games, kind of anything that a kid would want to do, we try to have besides electronics. And all of that is always a part of the quote. So right now we charge $16 per kid per hour. And then if there are any kids 18 months and under, they are an additional 20 per kid per hour for that extra sitter.
What's the hours people usually hire you for? 3, 4?
Typically, I'd say on average 4 to 5. We do have a 3-hour minimum. That's never been a problem. But, you know, I have one coming up that's 8 hours long. So it really, really varies on the couple and their needs and also their guest needs, because a lot of people use the opportunity of a wedding being in California to make a family trip out of it. So they might travel, you know, to San Francisco before, Big Sur, San Diego, Disneyland, and they're not just going to leave their kids at home when they see it as a full family trip in the end.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, for example, the wedding that I inquired with you about, they are going to have around 17 kids. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of kids because they're not like a 20-something couple, and in terms of their age. So many of their guests have kids ranging from, like, I think the youngest was like you said, like 18 months or something. And then the oldest is like 11. There's so many kids with so many age ranges. And I think when you have that many kids at a wedding, depending on the type of wedding you're having, right? It's so, so, so beneficial to have a service like this. And one of the things that I ran into personally when I was searching for a service for my clients, and let me start by saying also, or go back and say that my client's vision, and they don't have kids, by the way, my client's vision was that all of the parents would be seated for dinner in our reception space and it'd be more of an adult reception, but that in the guest house, again, this is a big property, in the guest house, that's where we'd have everything set up for all the kids and the sitters. So there would be these two separate spaces. Now, obviously that doesn't work for every wedding, right? Like, this is like a very awesome, perfect situation. Or perhaps if you're having your wedding at a hotel. I think as a parent though, you know, if my kids were younger, right now at my kids' age, I'd be like, go to the guest house, guys. Right. Leave me alone. Depending on how old the child is, some parents don't want to be separated from their kids like that. You know, they want the kids in sight. They want the kids eating dinner with them. And later the kids can go join if they want to. There's all these different scenarios. But one of the things that I ran into, and you and I talked about this, Molly, is that a lot of the services that I looked into were more of like entertainment for the kids, which is awesome, like fairies or superheroes or magician, face painting. But all of those services made sure to tell me, oh, but by the way, we're not babysitters. Like, we're not going to help change a diaper. We're not going to take a little one who's potty trained to the bathroom. We're not going to feed them. You know, we just entertain. So I was going to have to like hire the entertainers and then go look for babysitters. What I like about your service is that you guys do it all. You're not necessarily performing for the kids, but you're interacting much like like what I envision is like at a preschool or in a kindergarten classroom or even, you know, elementary school, like your right. guys are engaging the kids.
They, you know, the staff that I have brought onto my team and who help me at all these events, they're staff that are truly passionate about kids. I myself am very, very passionate about kids. I often find myself, you know, veering towards the kids even at adult-focused events. I just feel like they are so carefree, and obviously it's because of their adolescence, but it in that moment makes me feel more carefree because I'm worried about, you know, the crayon just broke, what do we do now? Or this person won't play with me, what do I do now? And it's kind of just taking a step back and having a different outlook on life.
With those different situations that Michelle was talking mm-hmm. about, not on the entertainment yeah. level necessarily, but like, okay, we finally know that there's going to be 12 kids between the ages of baby and 13, let's say, or 11, 12. But, you know, my friends really think that their toddlers are just going to stick with them and they won't want childcare. And then the older kids definitely will. Like, how do you price out ahead of time, not knowing how many kids might actually participate? Do you ever charge more after the fact?
Yeah. So I always price it out ahead of time. Say a couple reaches out 6 months before, everything is priced out, as they say. But obviously, they don't get RSVPs until a month before. Sometimes things also might change day of the wedding, but I always receive the deposit from them to lock in the date. And then things are always adjusted the month before, depending on that final kid count. And day of, say, you know, we're staffed properly for 7 kids arriving and there wind up being 10. We would typically still have those 2 sitters because it's over 5 kids. So we would still be properly staffed. But instead of 16 per kid per hour for those additional kids that showed up, they would be 20. And that's just due to, you know, last minute changes, not being ready. You know, maybe we would have brought more supplies and more crafts. And the couple always knows that ahead of time. And I think that definitely incentivizes the couple to figure everything out a month before as best they can.
Got it. Yes, ma'am. Everything's so structured and explained so nicely with you, Molly. You could tell that you're like, you speak clearly and calmly, and you could tell you're good with kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But it obviously, you know, takes time learning how to run a business. I'm, you know, only 27 years old, so I'm still figuring things out, still learning. And honestly, interacting with different wedding planners like you two and whoever else I may come across, I always feel as if you can pick up one little tidbit of information from one person, you can use that to better yourself and better your business.
Yeah, because you're laying the groundwork for growth here, not just like trying to stay yes. afloat. I mean, you could get $20 an hour babysitting jobs all day long in Orange County, but it's for that expansion that you're hoping for.
Definitely.
And that's happening. So you have to be ready for it.
Right. So it's all about, you know, making sure I have staff available and whether or not, for example, San Diego, I did not have any staff in place because it is not very close. It's not far from Los Angeles, but at the same time, it's not around the corner. So me having had reached out to some staff about a month ago to try to get their references and background checks and all of that, it came in handy when I was approached literally this morning for the event that's a few weeks away.
Oh, wow. That's true. Why don't you talk about that? Like, who is the staff?
Yeah, what happens
like,
on the back end?
How do we know they're any good and they're safe? What do you
do
for that?
Right now, they are all kind of people that I know through people. And I do vet them and background check them and all of that. There are definitely further precautions that could be taken. But at this point with, you know, I don't have any funding from anyone and it's literally just me running the whole show, I am very, very selective as to who I pick. They typically need to work multiple weddings before they actually can do any on their own. And I think the harder part is not necessarily finding staff who want to be around kids and are good with kids. It's finding the ones that I can trust to run events on their own. And I have probably 4 to 5 girls in LA that can run events on their own, which is amazing. But it did take some time for them to learn everything, to make sure they were CPR and first aid certified, because the person who's leading the event is the point person. And you might be good with kids one-on-one, but mm-hmm. when you're presented as someone who's in charge of, say, 7 to 10 kids who are running around and are very high energy due to the different type of situation that they're in, it's a whole different ballgame.
They need to be able to make decisions, like go with the flow and be directive on the wedding day rather than just be like, I don't know, I was told to come over here and set up a table.
Correct. And I have everything outlined for them, very, very detailed. But obviously with kids, anything can change and they kind of just have to be ready to adapt. And I always tell them they need to feel like they're a hawk. Like, you need to be looking everywhere, concentrating on everything at once. If one staff member isn't focusing, you need to tell them, you know, please take care of this person or jump in. And I mean, there's scissors out, so anything could happen in a second. If for some reason a 2-year-old grabs the scissors, you know, we are insured, but again, anything could happen and it still would not be a good look for anything to happen.
When you're a parent and you have little ones, you know, in that range where they're okay and it's safe for them to, you know, like you're fine with them going with a babysitter, but they're still at that age where they're like really clingy and they want mommy and daddy. The best caregiver in my experience is one who knows how to really like lure the child away from the parent or really identify what's going on at that moment and be like, hey, you know, I've got this, that, or the other, or whatever it is, right? And I think I read somewhere either in your website or in your social media that like you were at a wedding or you noticed something like this happening and you like were able to kind of give the parent relief. And I feel like couples getting married, one of the main reasons they have these services such as yours is that they want their guests to have fun and enjoy. Not to mention they don't want the kid running around the cake table, right? But like they want the parents to be able to have a good time. So how do you handle that? I mean, what are some situations and maybe how do you kind of talk to your staff?
It's always, like I've said, it's always very different on case by case basis, but it's just like you said, being able to recognize all of that. This past weekend, Saturday night, I had a rehearsal dinner with 5 kids. And then I would also see the same kids the next day for the wedding. And when I got to the rehearsal dinner, this one little girl who's 3 going on 4 in a few weeks, she, you know, was very, very clingy to her mom, an only child, and came here from out of state. So was very, very resistant. But as soon as she saw, and it did take time, as soon as she saw her cousins having fun, who were a little bit older, she was then intrigued. And by the end of the next night, you know, she was joking around with me, giving me a hug and just having fun. But I think it is about the staff recognizing all of that, but it's also about just being patient and giving the kids time because it's a totally new atmosphere for them. And regardless of maybe if their cousins are there or if they're the only kid and don't know anyone else, they're just in a totally different area surrounded by adults and there's this new sitter coming in. But we show up dressed in a uniform black t-shirt with leggings and gym shoes. So we're always ready, you know, to kind of
to run after a kid,
to run after them. Also like to get down on their level and not treat them like a kid and just being aware of that.
The rehearsal dinner is actually such a great idea. I didn't even think about that. But if you've already established a relationship with these kids and the parents and gained that trust, the wedding day itself is probably going to be a lot easier because the kids already know you.
Way easier. When I showed up on the wedding day, they all saw me and they were like, look at our outfits, look at my dress. Like, they were so happy to be able to share that with me. Regardless,
cute.
You know, they probably won't remember me come 1 week later because they're so young, but I appreciate it and it makes me feel good.
That's awesome. I hadn't even thought about that. So that's a good tip, you guys listening. If you're like, you're going to have, if you got out of town guests, like you're probably going to invite them to an event before the wedding or the rehearsal dinner. Like, seriously consider having your caregiver, the same ones, hopefully, right? That's also key. Or, you know, at the rehearsal dinner the night before, so the kids can meet them and get to know them and the parents too.
Yes. And it, you know, makes the parents more comfortable, the kids more comfortable. And I think it's, you know, I had a few different weddings this past weekend, so I could have been anywhere for the wedding day. But I think it's important if it's two events for the same kids, keep the same sitter. Otherwise, there'll be a little resistance and kind of have to start over.
Yeah, totally.
I was wondering, I didn't put this on the original outline, but I bet you have a good answer. And that is about, like, when you're interviewing these sitters that you hire and that are going to have your t-shirt on and your name and they're part of your brand. I know it's important that they have good leadership skills and that they're good, you know, to be that point person on the day. But what are the qualities of a good childcare provider? That I could name some that are pretty general, but do you have any like specific, like, okay, I know when I get this answer or I see this, that she's, and I say she, but that she's going to be good for my team and she's going to be good with the kids?
I actually more so base it off of their references. I had one sitter that was in progress in the Bay Area, and the references she gave me was a letter from a few years ago from someone who she worked for, and then a family that she just started nannying for a month ago. And even though they were great references, I told her, I need something more current and also someone who's known you longer than a month, because, you know, if I'm basing it off of that, I don't know enough to really, really trust you, even though I'll have someone else on site with you. I need to make sure that, you know, you've established relationships with people and that you can upkeep them in the childcare realm. Also, something very important that I can't really pinpoint until day of, I do not like when my staff are on their phones.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I get that. You know, we're all very, very involved in our phones nowadays, no matter the age, but I'm not paying them to be on their phones. And I always tell them ahead of time, if you want to go check your Instagram, if you want to make a call, you can tell me that you're going to do that and step away, and that's totally fine. Or just say you're going to the bathroom and do it. I don't mind that you take the time to look at your phone, hopefully no more than 5 to 10 minutes, but for parents to see that, because the parents are visible, or we are visible to the parents and everyone around us, it's just not professional. And I might be on my phone, maybe sending an email or taking a picture for Instagram, but it's my company, not the people who work for me. So I don't like them to be on their phones at all.
For me, that's a deal breaker for babysitters.
Yes.
Like when I'm in my own home, because I'm paying you an hourly rate to watch my kids and to play with them and interact with
them.
If you're just going to sit on your phone and make sure that they don't kill themselves, I could be doing that myself while I also get a million other things done. It's not interactive. And I think so many weddings don't have childcare when they have kids running around, because people think, oh, I'm, you know, everybody in my family has a bunch of kids. Like, this is what we do. Everyone takes care of everyone, you know,
right?
It's a big village and we love that. It would be weird if we had a sitter, but I think it's worth thinking about just to have a dedicated person or two, a pair of eyes that are ready to interact with and play with kids on the wedding day as like a come and go sort of thing if they want to. It's worth the hourly fee when it means that there's two more, like almost like lifeguards at a pool.
Right.
Like two more people, like ready to go. Not that ready to like always give CPR. I'm sure there's lots of people who would do that if you needed it. But like, get my kid away from me so that I can have a drink and watch the cake cutting and dance a little bit.
And there are, I'm, you know, preferred vendor at a few venues in Southern California. And one of the venues requires a sitter if there are over three kids. And of course, some people, you know, are like, why do we have to pay for this? I don't understand. And so I always try to offer the option of just supervision. So we're not really there to play with the kids or like take care of them or bring crafts or anything, but we are there, you know, to make sure the venue is staying mm-hmm. intact. No rocks.
So that meets the venue's needs. Yeah.
Sorry.
That would meet the venue's needs for
Correct.
Their requirement.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, and it's
no kids in
the
fountain, not up and down the stairs, whatever the venue's trying to protect. You would help with that in a kind way.
Right. And not climbing on couches or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's a whole like second service option.
Definitely. And I, you know, it's definitely not as fun for the kids because once they see the crafts and games, they'd much rather be doing that. But I do understand people are on a budget, and especially if it's required by the venue, it kind of puts them in a situation with money that they may have not planned for.
We talked about how you're visible. So I'm assuming this is like if it's a big room and there's maybe a side room or a side area or even a corner of the room, that's what you mean by visible usually?
Yes, it is preferred that we have a separate room on site just because, you know, kids have energy and they want to run. So being able to have a door and kind of contain them is amazing, but not every venue has that. So there are some venues where we might be literally 5 feet from the parents and just have our own setup at a different table. And we're always able to adapt because not every wedding is the same, not every kid is the same. And it's all about just being ready to do whatever is necessary to make sure the kids are happy and having
fun. What about at hotels? Have you ever been in a dedicated hotel room rather than in the ballroom?
Yes. So that does work. Again, it's a closed space, but it's always a way smaller space and it's always just a little tight. And then having the bed there can be a benefit if they want the kids to go to bed at a certain time, but it also takes up like the whole space of the room where kids could run and move. It's definitely not preferred, but for example, recently there was an out-of-town couple that they just wanted childcare just for their son at the hotel. So I had a sitter who was there and they just hung out for a few hours. The parents actually came back for bedtime, which was surprising because it was the night of the wedding. But we made it work and we're always there to help and make it an easier night for everyone involved.
One of the questions we get a lot is what actually works for keeping kids entertained. And you mentioned like the paper towel roll, that kind of surprised me. Stickers, like what, if we're like the Babysitters Club where they used to bring their backpacks or whatever filled with their little toolbox, you're doing that on a way more professional, like not regulated, but planned out way. So what are some things that for different age groups that you think are always a good idea? And this could even be a hint for people who are not going to hire childcare for the wedding, but they want to sort of be prepared.
Yeah. So our basic kit is basically every crafting supplies you could imagine, Candyland, Connect Four, different card games. And it really is just that. It's pretty simple and the kids do love it. It can be hard to keep them entertained for longer. And I've found that with the use of electronics, you know, if it's a 4-hour wedding, we might keep them engaged for 2.5-3 hours at most, including mealtime. And then at the end, honestly, they tend to go ask their parents for their phone and there's really nothing I can do because that's all about parenting. Like, do you want to give your kid the phone or do you not? And it's, you know, that day and age where a kid knows how to work the phone better than their parent. And that's kind of my struggle right now, figuring out what else we can do to keep the kids occupied and entertained when they kind of get bored of crafting or playing games. When dancing starts, that helps because they'll want to go out on the floor and dance. When there's cake or desserts, they want to stop for that. So having all these different wedding, typical wedding situations, cake cutting, dinner time, and all of that definitely helps to break it up. Mm-hmm. But it is challenging sometimes with tablets and phones.
Got it. Yeah, that's good for you to have as a wedding planner, like for me to give you the wedding day schedule and be in communication with you, or have my assistant run to let you know, like, let Molly know we're going to do the cake cutting in 10 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, so you can get the kids
Talk
in.
Talk to us about when there's outside space,
all that good
because
stuff.
We do a lot of weddings, and we got some questions about this where there's like the lawn games, or even kind of the like precautions that we should take with if cocktail hour was outside, but it was a big grassy area and there's a balcony and there's a vineyard or whatever, and the kids want to go out there, but it's reception time.
Yeah. So we have done a few outdoor weddings before, and we still like to have our kind of craft table set up, but we have some bigger games like Twister, or we've done different relay races like hard-boiled eggs on a spoon, where we do races and wrapping someone in toilet paper and seeing who can do it the quickest. And that kind of also helps to elevate the experience for kids. And whenever there's an outdoor space, typically couples do provide, just for their wedding guests in general, maybe a giant Jenga or the, I'm blanking on the name, where you throw the...
Oh yeah, cornhole.
Cornhole, yes. And doing all of that and kind of just giving them space to run, whether or not they're playing anything. When they're running around, they get tired out and they might think of their own games, or they might, you know, play hide and seek or hide in a little area or come up with their own imaginary story play. It's definitely more fun outside, but I mean, is the space well lit? Because that's very important, and making sure it's safe. And we always just have to keep our eyes and ears open to make sure that everyone is safe.
Okay, so Molly, we reached out to our Facebook community and let them know that we were going to be recording an episode all about kids. And in 2 hours, we've got 16 posts. Yeah. So this is a hot topic. So what I want to do is a really quick kind of little rapid fire and like throw these out. Some of them you'll answer, some of them we might answer, and we'll kind of end the episode that way and throw some of these out there. Okay. So you ready?
Okay. Yes. Ready.
Here we go. Number one, what age is considered a kid? And what age do kids get the kids meals? And what age should we provide them a regular entree? Oh, I can answer that. Do you want to answer that, Molly?
To me, a kid is 10 and below. Sometimes they will want us to watch a 12-year-old, which is totally fine. But typically, you know, they can go to the bathroom by themselves and go back and forth between our area and the reception.
Yeah.
As far as the kids' meals, I would say it's limitless, because even I sometimes prefer chicken fingers and French fries. So,
For me, for somebody to babysit my 11-year-old, he would want nothing to do with it. My 9-year-old should be totally into it. And most caterers will say kids' meals are ages 12 and under 12, rather. 12 is the cut. Like 12 okay. and older is not a kid's meal. Under 12, most caterers, they say they'll charge you for a kid's meal. What do you think, Christy?
Yeah, I think that's about right. And they will be very clear about that when you do your tasting with them. Like, okay, they're not going to, they have a lot of rules, I think, you know, especially with hotels, like with buffet items and things. So they're going to want to know how many kids are there for sure.
All right. What are the most common kid, quote, cutoffs between no kids and all kids welcome? Just family, just out of town guests, above or below a certain age, only kids that actually want to be there? Is there a way to subtly suggest not bringing kids while not explicitly banning them? Or is it always better to give them give specific instructions. Christy?
If you don't want kids at your wedding, you need to be very specific about that. And you also need to expect blowback. So you and your partner and the people that are helping you pay for your wedding need to be all on the same page about it. So there's not a miscommunication. Like, we said no kids. In the invitation, it says adults only or adult reception only. Some kind of wording that is not vague, but then your cousin is going to call her mom, who's going to call your mom and say, we're bringing ours, like it or not. And you have to go from there. So you need to decide how firm you want to be. It is common that we see a no kids wedding that has certain kids that are exceptions to that, which we mentioned at the top of this episode, like the wedding party's kids or kids that are yours or in the wedding, yeah, or your godchildren or something that's, you know, people are very important to you. You don't have to feel bad about that. Oh, we said no kids, but then, you know, my brother's kids are going to be there. And you don't have to explain yourself or defend yourself. You just need to be clear and consistent with the no kids messaging, I think. Don't worry about what people think. They will figure it out one way or the other.
Okay. How to word that we're having a kid-free wedding without sounding like we hate anyone's kids. Well, I think it depends on how you're getting the word out there, whether or not you are following etiquette, because etiquette would say that you make it very short and sweet and put it on the invitation itself, right? Like adults only. But some people can look at that and be like, what a bitch. So
that's why you can't worry about it.
Yeah. Just don't worry about it. Just be simple. Just be frank. You can also, if you have like more of a conversational type invitation or you're on your wedding website, you can be like, oh my God, we love kids so much and we love your kids, but we really just want this to be adults only. So let's have fun with it or something like that.
Yeah. Or we won't be providing childcare at the venue. And it, there are stairs or there are several entrances and exits. You know, there's a way that if they bring their kid, then at least they know what to expect.
Okay.
Somebody asked, have you ever seen a kid stick their hands in the cake? We have several kids coming and my mom is throwing a fit thinking that all the kids are just going to walk up and shove their hands in the cake. Is this an actual problem? I've never seen that.
I don't remember specifically. I know there are always instances because not even the cake, kids just want to touch everything and feel everything. And I guess it's either having us there to make sure that doesn't happen or making sure the parents are on top of it. But if you put the cake high enough, they won't be able to reach it.
I saw it's so long ago, a little one that was like, I don't know, probably she was like 2 or 3 years old. This is way before I had kids. This is when I first started the business and I was mortified. Walk up, wobble like a drunk person over to that cake table and just stick her finger right in the, and I was like, oh my God, like I was mortified. And the, you know, mom went and grabbed her right away. She didn't ruin the cake. But since then, I've always been very like, if any children, you know, if they get close to the cake table, I'm like, once in what, 18 years almost, mm-hmm, of doing this, once I've seen it.
Is it less likely to have somebody flossed stick their hand in the cake, and almost just as likely that a drunk person would do that as a child. But
right,
it is more of a balance issue. And and Michelle and I have worked with this. If you have a tall cake or a cake that is delicately balanced or has a lot on it in some way, and you have that table central so that it can be seen and people can ooh and ah and take photos, but it also has a lot of people walking around it or dancing around it, that's more of the issue, like a kid or an adult bumping into the table because it's not in the right place and the cake is in a precarious position. That's more what I worry about than an actual like kid sticking their hand in the cake.
This one's interesting. If we say no kids, how likely are the guests from out of town, you know, traveling from across the country with kids, how likely are they not to come to the wedding? I think it's pretty, you know, it's like a 50-50 at that point. They're, you know, some people are like, well, I'm just not going then.
Yeah, it's something that they have to consider for sure. And because usually if you've traveled out of town with your kids, at least in my case, you hope you're going somewhere or you want to go somewhere where there's other family members that could watch your kids. But in the case of a wedding, everyone's at the wedding. So then that's when we personally are looking into a service like what Molly does, like Black Tie Kids, except this is on the East Coast. And we're looking for somebody that can come to the hotel, which is actually not, it's not on property at all. The wedding is at a country
right.
club. And there will be like, I think it's like 7 or 8 kids, all in the like 5 to 10-year-old range. And they're not invited, but we, the adults, are. So we're going to need somebody to watch them for a good 4 hours, 5 hours.
Oh, more.
You know?
More.
So, well, the grandma said she would like leave the wedding early, which is causing its own drama. Uh-huh. But you know what I'm saying, Molly. This is something that you would put together a proposal for, right?
Like definitely.
A separate, an entirely separate thing.
And we might have to talk after, depending where the wedding is.
Right.
Oh.
Yes, please.
Nice.
Because we're doing what so many couples do and what my own clients do, which is like we're basically just asking local parents that we know about who their babysitters are
yeah.
and then hoping that somebody will agree to a 6-kid in a hotel room situation. But it's not ideal. They're not, you know, necessarily very professionally vetted. And what about when this is somewhere where nobody is local? A true destination wedding.
Right, Hawaii.
Parents
or,
with kids, yeah, they just have to decline. Or you have to make an exception for them, which is why I said if you're going to do a no kids wedding, you need to be clear with the planning group of exactly what that means.
This is an interesting one. If my sister-in-law's mother is coming to take care of said infant, do I send her an invite? She wouldn't come to the wedding normally, but I'm obviously feeding and boozing her the night of while she watches the baby.
If she's part of the catering,
no.
I think if she's part of the catering, you just have to let the caterer know. You don't
yeah.
necessarily
yeah,
have
you
to.
Don't have to send her an invite. Her daughter should just put, you know, however many guests,
Yeah, that's like
add
a
her
plus
to her
one.
Plus two. Mm-hmm. That's her plus two.
Make sure she has a seat and you have... You know, a high chair
yeah.
if the kid needs that.
Or a little area.
Yeah. If we will have infants, what should we provide to make the moms comfortable besides a private space for breastfeeding? And then in parentheses, that is so nice, by the way. Yeah. Because most moms, if they don't want to do it out, because she says here in parentheses, like, or like do it out in the open. Like, I don't care if they breastfeed out in the open. How lovely
I think
of
you.
You
just communicate that.
But I think it's more up to mom's yeah. discretion. You could just totally tell her, just text her, be like, hey, by the way, well, I don't care if you breastfeed. Don't worry about me. And if you want a private space, mm-hmm. we've got one for you. But how lovely of you to consider that, first of all. Because a lot of moms will just have to go in the bathroom, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, just giving her the info it would be very considerate.
I don't think you need to provide anything else. The only thing you should always think of when babies are coming is a high chair. Now, an infant might not sit in a high chair, but some moms, you know, the restaurant style high chairs that are like wooden, like they'll flip those upside down and they'll set their car oh. seat in them. So the kid can like sit in them next to the mom. So high chairs are a good thing. But other than that, you don't really have to provide anything, but just if there is a space for breastfeeding and there are breastfeeding moms, dude, that's awesome. Provide that.
Oh, one other thing to think about is the floor plan when you're doing the seating chart and you do have kids and you know which tables have the kids, which tables have the babies, and sort of position those people. And this is if you're very conscientious and thoughtful and want to put the thought into that. Maybe position tables with kids in ways that make sense in the venue, not right in front of the DJ, not right next to the cake table, out of the way for like a lot of traffic if they have an infant. Not that you're putting baby in a corner, so to speak, but that you've put some thought into like who they're near. And if you can make anything a little bit more convenient, then you do that.
You do that.
That's above and beyond.
I think it's always yeah. appreciated. Again, even just the private space. New moms would be in heaven just even the thought of that space, whether or not they use it.
Molly, do you have any hints or suggestions on kid food, drink, snacks? Like, Is there anything that's always a home run or is actually a terrible idea, like something with sprinkles, perhaps?
Yeah, and a sugar cookie? Say
I find those to be terrible.
Chicken fingers and French fries are usually always a hit. Pizza is good, even though I recently had a kid tell me they don't like pizza, so I would have to figure that out on the spot. But pasta is too messy. I would say just keep it simple. You know, nothing that can ruin their clothes, even though you never know where the ketchup might spill. But chicken fingers and French fries, I think, is just the easiest, probably cheap and easy for the caterers and all of that. And most kids tend to like it. I think sometimes it's hard when you get to the pastas or macaroni because not every kid might be able to eat it, or there's all these allergies now. So that's another concern. But you would hope that parents of the kids communicate that to the bride.
This is an interesting one. We potentially have around 15 to 20 kids aged 10 to 16 coming. Again, I don't consider 16-year-olds kids. They can't drink, but they're not kids. That's me saying that. I am planning on doing a candy bar for the kids during the cocktail hour and a drum circle to open up the reception that is aimed exclusively at having the kids do something fun and active before we sit down for a long dinner. How do I make sure the adults give the kids first dibs on the candy bar and drum circle, but that they are welcome to participate if spots are available or if there's candy left over? Should I have any more than this planned to keep the kids busy considering their age?
I think it's all about communication.
Yeah.
And if you want the kids to go first, make sure the DJ knows it when he or she announces it. And it might not work. I mean, it's hard to predict that.
I would, if you want to have a candy bar, listen, grown-ups love candy, first of all. I've had lots of candy bars at weddings for on the adults.
Yeah, assume the grown-ups are going to pillage it as well.
Unless you make the decor so juvenile and say kids zone only or something,
table,
like you can make
maybe.
It cute. Yeah, make it low, make it like, and be like kids zone, like put a sign on it or something. And then the drum circle's super cute, but you might, again, you might need somebody to coordinate that for you. So one of those friends or family members that is like, what can I do to help? I want to help. What can I do to help? You could just be like, you're the drum circle coordinator and you're going to find the kids, hand them each a drum, explain to them what they're doing and coordinate that.
Yeah,
that's what I
think that person needs to be enthusiastic about it, because kids can smell when adults are faking it or like are hesitant, and then they're going to be like, I'm not doing that. You don't seem to like that. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, get away.
I think the drum circle is such a cool idea. There are times when adults have cool ideas and we put them out there and then we are disappointed when they don't actually happen. Yeah. So I would just say to like make sure your expectations are like, hey, I thought this was a good idea. It's here for them if they want it, but don't let it like ruin your night if nobody participates in the way that you thought they might. Like, just don't, you know, put all of your energy into that.
Very good. Well, I think, Molly, is there anything else that we maybe didn't cover that you feel like our listeners should know? Or do you feel like you got it all out?
I think we covered everything, but I would just like to reiterate that though it's a service, childcare at weddings, you might not think you need, or you might not realize until the last minute. I think that it is something definitely worth trying to budget for, whether it is complete childcare or just supervision, like a lifeguard. And the kids not only have a great time, but the adults do as well. And our motto is let the kids have fun so the adults can adult.
You'll get more bang for your buck if all your adults are out there shaking their booties on the dance floor because they're not leaving early or worried about their kids.
Very good. And if you have young ones, bring pajamas in your bag so that Molly can throw them in their jammies and they're ready to go when you're a little you're in the Uber a little
yeah, I think
and wanting to get those
definitely
kids to
a change of clothes. But also, I just wanted to real quick, in case people are listening and have no idea what they're going to do, Molly, you think it's very helpful to have like an actual dedicated table in the room, if nothing else, if you don't have a separate room, bare minimum, to have a table to throw out all those crafts on, that is something that you guys utilize. Okay.
Yes, definitely. It's very hard setting up at the same table, and also then grease from the food gets on all of our stuff and water gets spilled and it just creates a bigger mess. But having that separate table is really, really helpful.
I think that would work even if you only have a few kids, you don't have a sitter, and you could make some of those crafts kind of wedding related, you know, like, or at least match the colors of your wedding or something.
Right. And a lot of times it's really sweet. The kids want to make a gift for the bride and the groom, and you know, whether or not they actually keep it, it's very, very thoughtful.
Perfect. Yes. I've seen that with coloring books also. They love to bring their coloring up to the bride.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I think that helps. It was such a big spectrum that we were talking about with people and their questions and all these different situations. So I think we got the biggest generalities covered.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Molly. We appreciate you taking the time and educating these peeps and us.
Of course. Thank you both. It was great talking to you guys and hopefully educating everyone about why you should have childcare service at your wedding.
Okay. And throw out your website again and your social media handles.
So our website is blacktiekids.com. And social media is at Black Tie Kids. So there is an S at the end of it.
On Facebook and Instagram. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you again. And
thank you.
If we get any questions that are specifically sitter related and we don't have the answers or we want better answers, we will reach out to you and then we'll follow up on a You Ask, We Answer or something like that.
Sounds great.
Okay, everyone. Our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, and that's the best way to reach us if you have questions or suggestions. We have a Patreon account, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast, and $5 a month, it is invaluable to us. It helps us keep this podcast afloat. So if you want to contribute, we would be so, so grateful, and there's perks. We also do one-on-one consulting. You can email about that, and we'll send you more information. We're on Twitter at TBWP Podcast, Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We use hashtag plan that wedding, and we love to share listener photos, engagements, proposals, wedding planning, and of course your wedding days. So if you ever DM us and credit your photographer, we would love to share those. And you can join our Facebook group, which is where we got a lot of this content. And that is like a private community group, TBWPP. And we have a phone number.
415-723-1625. And if you leave us a voicemail with a question, we will play it on our next Yawa and answer it for you. Ooh.
If you're listening on iTunes, it's so helpful if you rate and review.
Please. Very important. Okay. Well, happy planning, everybody. And Christy, I love you and I love your show.
Bye.
Bye.